Welcome to Least of These, where I cover the cases that need it most, because every life matters and everyone deserves justice. I'm your host, Leah D. Today, I'll be covering the case of Grace Ryan in Arvada, Colorado. Let's get right to it. Nestled at the base of the Rocky Mountain foothills, Arvada, Colorado is a family-friendly suburb about 10 miles northwest of downtown Denver. Known for its charming historic district, expansive parks, and highly rated public schools, Arvada offers the perfect balance, a quiet place to raise a family while just minutes from everything the city has to offer. It was here that Grace Elizabeth Ryan grew up. Grace was born on October 5, 2009, in Denver. She was active in her community and enjoyed many of the things you'd expect from a teenager. She loved art and music, attended church, spent time with friends, and loved caring for her pets. She was creative. Grace loved crafts, drawing, and painting, and she dreamed one day of becoming a social worker. But sometime in 2025, something shifted. At 16 years old, when most teenagers are beginning to find their independence and confidence, Grace seemed to retreat instead. Rather than her world expanding, Grace's world grew smaller. She became increasingly withdrawn, spending less time with friends and more time at her family home in the 6400 block of West 85th Avenue. By the fall of 2025, she unenrolled from her public high school and transitioned to virtual learning. From there, Grace's isolation intensified. She fell behind in her online schooling and gradually withdrew from the friends, hobbies, and routines that had once been such an important part of her life. Little by little, the vibrant, creative teenager those around her knew seemed to disappear. On March 9, 2026, at about 8 a.m., a 911 call came into the Arvada dispatch. On the line was Grace's mother, 55-year-old Gretchen Ryan. She told dispatchers that she had found her daughter Grace unresponsive on the bathroom floor. Arvada Fire and Police rushed to the home on West 85th, but when they arrived, it was too late. 16-year-old Grace Ryan was pronounced deceased at the scene. From the moment first responders stepped inside, it was clear there was something very dark and strange going on inside that home. According to police documents, the house smelled strongly of urine. And when they arrived, 55-year-old Gretchen was wearing nothing but a t-shirt and an adult diaper. She slurred her words as she repeatedly told detectives, "I killed her." It was obvious that Gretchen Ryan was under the influence of something, and it wasn't long before investigators figured out what that something was. There were copious amounts of empty alcohol bottles throughout the house. What police found when they searched 16-year-old Grace's bedroom was unbelievable. Investigators located 173 empty bottles. That's 173 empty alcohol bottles tucked away under the bed and stashed in the closet. They were various brands and sizes of vodka and other hard liquor. As you can imagine, they had a lot of questions for her mother, Gretchen. I mean, she had already said she killed her daughter. They wanted to know exactly what she meant by that. When they sat down to talk to her, she admitted that she herself had a drinking problem and that she drank a lot, but said that she didn't know if her daughter had been, quote, getting into her stuff. So let's get this straight. There were 173 empty alcohol bottles in her teen daughter's room, but she just wasn't sure. Apparently, she hadn't noticed the nearly 200 bottles of missing alcohol. That was stupid enough. But what Gretchen admitted next was incomprehensible. After 16-year-old Grace Ryan was found deceased on the bathroom floor and 173 empty alcohol bottles discovered hidden in her bedroom. At first, her mother, 55-year-old Gretchen Ryan, said she didn't know if her daughter had been getting into her stuff. Obviously, that was unbelievable. When pressed by investigators, Gretchen stated, "I can't do this. I'm so upset. I feel like I killed her." She went on to say that she thought she deserved to go to jail. And then Gretchen admitted what everyone already knew. She had been supplying her underage daughter with alcohol for an extended period of time. A full autopsy report didn't come for weeks, but preliminary results revealed that at just 16 years old, Grace had an abnormally fatty liver. Alcohol-associated fatty liver disease is the earliest stage of liver damage caused by excessive alcohol consumption. Since the liver is responsible for processing most of the alcohol a person drinks, as it breaks down alcohol, it produces substances that slow the liver's ability to burn fat, increase the production of fatty acids, which cause fat to accumulate inside the cells of the liver, and produce inflammation and oxidative stress that over time causes serious liver damage. Fatty liver disease is a spectrum, of course the earliest stage being a fatty liver. At this stage, the damage is reversible if the person stops consuming alcohol. But if they don't, a fatty liver progresses to alcohol-associated hepatitis, where the liver becomes inflamed and liver cells begin to die. This state can range from mild to life-threatening. If that person continues to drink, that hepatitis morphs into fibrosis, and ultimately cirrhosis of the liver, which leads to liver failure, internal bleeding, fluid buildup, liver cancer, and ultimately death. Cirrhosis is one of the most common causes of death for those abusing alcohol. At just 16 years old, Grace Ryan was already showing the signs and symptoms of extensive and prolonged alcohol consumption. To put it simply, she was a full-blown alcoholic. Now, I don't say this to disparage Grace Ryan in any way. The fact is that as a minor, the blame falls 100% at the feet of the adult supplying her with alcohol. But the facts are the facts, and we don't do her story justice by tiptoeing around them. And the facts of this case are disturbing, to say the very least. In an interview room with detectives, Gretchen Ryan signed a form consenting for a full search of her phone. After she signed, she told the investigator that she was going to jail. When he asked why, Ryan responded, "Because you're going to see it and be like, what did you do?" Gretchen Ryan was right on both fronts, though the going to jail part would take some time. A forensic examination of both Grace and Gretchen's electronic devices uncovered a treasure trove of evidence that was both damning and heartbreaking. According to the Arvada police, digital evidence showed that Grace frequently consumed alcohol and marijuana with her mother. Beginning in September of 2025, the mother and daughter discussed consumption of alcohol on an almost daily basis. Gretchen Ryan arranged regular alcohol deliveries to the family home and concealed those purchases as well as Grace's alcohol use from her husband and Grace's father. Yeah, there was a whole ass another adult living inside that house, apparently oblivious as to what was going on under his own roof. Part of the reason could have been due to the fact that, according to police, he primarily lived in the basement of the home. This gets weirder by the moment, don't it? The father, and let me put air quotes around that, but Grace's father could claim that he knew nothing about his daughter's substance abuse issue. But Gretchen Ryan sure couldn't say the same. Communications between Gretchen and Grace showed that not only did Gretchen provide the alcohol for her daughter, she knew exactly how dire Grace's situation had become. According to police, in the months leading up to Grace's death, messages were exchanged between the two, Grace describing to her mother episodes of vomiting blood, that she was having both difficulty eating and walking, and references to Grace needing to use adult diapers. In one exchange, Grace told her mother that she had been vomiting blood, and Gretchen responded with, quote, "That's a bad sign." That wasn't the only bad sign. Things had gone so far off the rails, Grace would beg Gretchen to bring her alcohol, saying she couldn't get up out of the bed to get it herself, and that her whole body hurt. Gretchen responded in a text, "If you can't get up to pee, get food and drink, and puke blood, we aren't going to make it. We need help. This isn't working. I'm going to lose you." Now, I'm sure most of you know, but for the few who may not, for someone with alcohol use disorder, abruptly stopping alcohol is oftentimes not an option. The brain and body adapt to constantly being supplied with alcohol. To make a complicated issue really simple, alcohol slows activity in the brain, and over time the brain begins to compensate by becoming more active to maintain balance. When alcohol is suddenly removed, the brain is sent into overdrive, leading to withdrawal symptoms that can be dangerous and fatal. In a mild case, withdrawal can cause anxiety, tremors, sweating, nausea, and insomnia. But in severe cases, it can cause all of that, plus seizures or delirium tremens, commonly known as DTs. DTs can be fatal. They're a combination of confusion, hallucinations, dangerously high blood pressure, fever, and accelerated heart rate. Because severe alcohol withdrawal can be fatal, it's recommended that those who have been drinking heavily for an extended period stop drinking only under medical supervision, where medications can be used to reduce the risk of complications. Grace was asking her mother to bring her alcohol when she couldn't get out of the bed herself because she was past the point of being able to function without alcohol in her system. Gretchen knew Grace needed help, and Grace did too. Grace repeatedly asked her mother for help and told her that she was afraid she was going to die. Days before her death, Grace texted her mom, "If you're going to do this to me, you need to take me to a hospital." Obviously, Gretchen didn't. According to police, there is no evidence that Gretchen ever sought treatment for her daughter. A series of texts showed Gretchen saying she was going to take the alcohol away, but I mean, we know she didn't. And on multiple occasions, she admitted she knew what she was doing was so very wrong. In one message, Gretchen wrote, "I'm committing child abuse and murder, and I will go to prison. So we have to do something. It is really bad." That text was sent all the way back in January of 2026. The messages continued to show that Grace's condition was declining, and that Grace believed though her mother knew how bad her condition had gotten, she didn't want to get her help. In a message sent to a friend on March 3rd, Grace wrote, "I don't think she wants to get me help, which is what really scares me. I'm gonna die." In other texts sent to her friend from her iPad, Grace said about Gretchen, "Me and her have been fighting really bad recently, and it gets physical. She could go to prison for 15 years. On March 4th, so that's 5 days before her death, Grace told her mother that she was afraid, writing simply, "I'm gonna die." Gretchen responded, "No, you aren't." Over the next few days, Grace repeatedly told Gretchen that she was in, quote, so much pain, like she was gonna die. She begged to go to the hospital. Gretchen told police in an interview that the night before her death, Grace had a seizure. After she came out of it, she was vomiting blood, but Gretchen thought she was okay. She went on to explain that Grace had had a seizure in the past, and that time she had taken her to a hospital. But the doctor told them that it was, quote, normal for teenage girls to have seizures. "I'll take things that never happened for 200, Alex." After days of Grace telling Gretchen she was sick, couldn't get out of bed, and was gonna die, she seized out in the family home and then was vomiting blood. But Gretchen was sure it was all normal and that she was okay. Grace went back up to her bedroom and Gretchen did whatever the hell Gretchen does. At 10:07 p.m., Grace sent a final message from her iPad to her mother, telling her that she was really sick. Nearly 50 minutes later, at 10:56, Gretchen sent a message asking Grace if she was okay, but Grace never responded. Grace never responded again. And Gretchen? Well, she went back to bed. When asked by investigators why she didn't go check on Grace, Gretchen stated, "I was scared I was going to find her really sick, and so I kind of buried my head in the sand, and I went back to bed, which was stupid." Well, would you look at that? The understatement of the century. Stupid doesn't even begin to explain it. No one went in to check on Grace Ryan until around 8:15 a.m. the following morning, and by that point, she was on the bathroom floor, the iPad she used to beg her mother for help lying next to her cold, dead body. The investigation into Grace's death took over a month, and during that time, Gretchen Ryan was free as a bird. Okay, fellow true crime fans, let me ask you this. If a body turns up with a mysterious clue left beside it, are you calling the police or immediately starting a conspiracy board in your living room? Or both? That's the decision crime reporter Nikki Gillette faces in best-selling author Lisa Jackson's slow burn thriller, Not What It Seems. What starts as an apparent accident in Georgia's Lowcountry quickly spirals into something much darker. One victim becomes two. Two become more. And beside every body is the same unsettling clue. A polished stone engraved with a number and a strange symbol. Nikki can't let it go. And honestly, neither would we. And I felt the same way when I picked up this book. I couldn't put it down. There were so many twists, turns, and just when I thought I got it all figured out, I was thrown for another loop. It was a perfect summer read. You feel like you're right alongside Nikki as she follows the trail through Savannah's historic streets and eerie marshes, uncovering secrets, suspects, and a killer who just might be closer than anyone realizes. If you enjoy reading authors like Paula Hawkins, Karen Slaughter, and Riley Sager, you'll love this book. Atmospheric, creepy, and packed with the kind of clues you'll be obsessing over between chapters, Not What It Seems is the latest thriller from number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. Pick up Not What It Seems wherever books are sold. On April 4, 2026, Jefferson County forensic pathologist Dr. Don Holmes issued Grace's full autopsy report. Dr. Holmes determined that Grace's cause of death was aspiration pneumonia related to chronic alcohol use. The pathologist noted in the report that chronic alcohol use increases the risk of aspiration pneumonia by suppressing gag and cough reflexes, reducing salivary gland function, and impairing immune system function. The autopsy concluded Grace had died during a terminal episode of acute aspiration pneumonia. In other words, she developed a severe lung infection after aspirating her own vomit into her lungs. Pneumonia is treatable, as is alcohol substance use disorder. It's likely with medical intervention Grace would have recovered, yet she was never given the opportunity, even though her mother was well aware of her daughter's condition. Instead, Grace Ryan died all alone on the bathroom floor, and a month later, no one had been charged. Dr. Holmes also ruled Grace's manner of death to be natural. That finding caused confusion, some assuming it meant no one could be held criminally responsible in Grace's death. But in forensic pathology, a natural manner of death doesn't mean that another person's actions couldn't have caused or contributed to the circumstances that led to the death. It simply means the death itself resulted from an internal disease process or medical condition, rather than a direct external injury. In Grace's case, the disease process was aspiration pneumonia brought on by chronic alcohol use disorder. But the circumstances that led to that fatal illness were anything but natural, because it sure isn't natural for a mother to provide her daughter with enough alcohol to kill her. But that's exactly what police allege happened. On May 15, 2026, 55-year-old Gretchen Leanne Ryan was charged with one count of murder in the second degree. She was booked in the Jefferson County Jail and held on a $500,000 cash-only bond. And that is where she sits at the time of this recording. Ryan's next court date is scheduled for July 16th of this year, 2026. There's no indication as to whether or not this case will make it to trial or whether a plea deal will be offered by prosecutors. Grace's father has declined to comment publicly on his daughter's death or the arrest of his wife. Prior to being charged with the murder of her daughter, Gretchen Ryan had no criminal record to speak of, aside from a citation for driving under the influence back in 1993. The Hanford Sentinel reported that officers with the North Glenn Police Department cited Gretchen for driving under the influence when she was just 22 years old. It's unclear how that case was resolved. While one DUI can't tell the whole story, it does suggest that Gretchen's abuse of alcohol may have started decades before Grace was born. Unfortunately, addiction follows a pattern that can span generations. Researchers have long recognized that substance use disorders are influenced by both environment and genetics. A child raised in a home where alcohol or drugs are regularly used is estimated to be 4 to 8 times more likely to develop substance use disorder. Genetics also play a significant role. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, multiple genes influence how the brain responds to substances, how those substances are metabolized, and how intensely a person experiences both reward and stress, all of which can affect the likelihood of developing an addiction. Current research estimates that genetic factors account for roughly 40 to 60% of a person's risk of developing a substance use disorder. So there's the genes in combination with the environment. Gretchen admitted that she regularly drank alcohol and used marijuana with her underage daughter. Grace wasn't just growing up around addiction. She was being actively introduced to it by her own mother. Inside that home, Gretchen supplied Grace with seemingly unlimited access to alcohol, while her father was more worried about whatever the hell was going on in the basement rather than the slow-motion murder of his daughter upstairs. Under those conditions, Grace Ryan never stood a chance. Grace was still a teenager, and adolescent brains are especially vulnerable to the effects of alcohol. Their developing brains are affected in profound and dangerous ways. Research consistently shows that the earlier a person begins drinking or using substances, the more likely that person will develop serious problems with alcohol or drug addiction. For Grace, that progression happened with heartbreaking speed. Her dependence on alcohol took hold hard and fast, and the damage it inflicted on her body proved catastrophic. Nearly all of us know someone battling addiction, whether it's to drugs or alcohol, or both. While it's essential that we stand by them and encourage treatment, it's equally vital that we safeguard those around them until they are well again, especially the most vulnerable, children, the elderly, and those who can't protect themselves. Addiction doesn't exist in isolation. It ripples outward with devastating results. Seeking help, whether you're the one suffering from substance abuse or you love someone who is, well, it has the potential to save so many lives. There's a life at risk due to addiction, but also the potential victims who could be harmed by its consequences. It's breaking the cycle that without intervention can continue for generations. There are people waiting in the wings to get you started on your recovery journey. In the U.S., you can call the helpline 24/7 for free and confidential help. The number is 1-800-662-4357, or you can visit SAMHSA.gov. I'll be sure to link the resources in the show notes. And that, my friends, is all I've got for this week. You can bet I'll be following this case closely and bring you updates as they become available. You can join me next Thursday for an all-new episode. I'll be here, same time, same place. In the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at least_of_these or my Facebook at least of these podcast. And if you're sick of ad interruptions, because aren't we all, I've got good news for you. You can get all your episodes ad-free just the way you like them for just $2 a month. And as a member of Patreon, you'll be the first to be notified when new tiers will launch with exclusive episodes and a few bonus surprises. Head on over to patreon.com/leastofthese to support the show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. If you know something, say something. And until next time, be good to each other. Y'all, 173 empty bottles? I really want to take a moment to think about the amount of alcohol in 173 bottles. It's almost too much to comprehend. I mean, are there even 173 bottles of alcohol in a bar? The cows are hungry, sorry. Did y'all hear that? I don't know why all the cows are at my window currently. Anyways, as I was saying, 173 bottles of alcohol, that's a lot. And I'm not even sure if like your average bar would have that many bottles of alcohol. It's been years since I've been in a bar and actually paid attention. And it doesn't help that I'm from a podunk town. I don't think there's any way that many bottles were in our bars. It's almost too insane to believe that a little petite, tiny, 16-year-old girl consumed that much alcohol. So much alcohol, she'd lost control of her bowels and needed diapers. So much alcohol, she was vomiting blood and couldn't walk. I don't even want to imagine how terrifying that had to be for her. At that point, it's not fun or cute to drink anymore. According to those text messages, Grace knew she needed help. She knew she physically couldn't stop on her own. And yet, her mother just let her die. This wasn't some easy death either. Grace Ryan suffered a horrific death. All alone, her mother and father, let's not forget the father because he was somewhere in the basement, but they were all right there in the same house. Gretchen should have been charged with first-degree murder. Those messages show that she knew what she was doing was wrong, she knew how sick her daughter was, and she knew that she could die. She knew that she wanted to get help, but she did nothing. She just allegedly ordered more of the poison that killed her. In my opinion, that's premeditated, 100%, and it should have been charged as such. There's the cows again. And the father needs some kind of neglect charge, because how are you living there and don't have a single clue? I don't believe that, not for a second. Alcohol can be so dangerous. In my experience working getting people off the street and into rehab, I was always so much more nervous dealing with someone with an addiction to alcohol. Scared that if I couldn't immediately get them to a medical facility before withdrawal started to hit, we could end up in a medical emergency and they could potentially lose their life. And I actually couldn't transport them. If someone already had the slightest sign or symptom of withdrawal from alcohol, I'd have to call an ambulance. So unless we were going just up the road to a detox center and they were symptom-free, I just couldn't take them. Alcohol withdrawal is more likely to be fatal than any other substance. Heroin, opiates, crack, meth, you name it. Withdrawal isn't fun for anyone by no means, but it isn't typically fatal, unless we're talking about alcohol. And alcohol addiction is such a tricky one to overcome. I mean, it's everywhere. Gas stations, grocery stores, restaurants, theme parks, advertised on TV, radio. It's literally everywhere. The temptation is in front of your face 24/7 right there in the general public. It's not like you can be in recovery from crack and see a commercial for a Big Fat Rock or find it on sale at your local Walmart. You kind of got to go out looking for it. The same can't be said for alcohol. It's thrown at you all the time, and it's socially acceptable. It just adds a whole nother layer to recovery. But it's still possible, and people do it all the time. Before we go, I just got to say that if you're in recovery, let me just tell you that I am so very proud of you. It's not an easy thing. I know you went through hell and back, but look at you now, out here killing it. And that's about all I got to say about that. Y'all know I love you more than my luggage, and I can't wait to talk at you next week. But until then, bye, boo thang!